Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Son of God and man, you are high and low.
Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. We're eagerly looking forward to the day we can finally worship together here in person at New Life.
Good morning, New Life family. Our names are Eric and Sarah Baumhoff, and we are your hosts for this week's Sunday service. I have been a part of New Life my whole life, and Sarah has been attending since we got married almost 4 years ago. We want to extend a warm welcome to you as we join virtually today.
For those of you that are new to New Life, our leadership team has been choosing a different opportunity to serve in our community each month of this year.
For the month of February, we have been collecting items for the Best for Babies program in Abbotsford. Tomorrow, February 22nd, is the last day to drop off your items. Check out our website under the Events tab at newlifecrc.ca/bestforbabies to see a list of items you can still contribute, as well as drop off instructions. Our goal is to put together 60 care packages for moms and their babies who are helped in this program.
We would also like to announce that next Sunday evening, we are going to have a live-streamed worship night called Abide. This will be a time to worship in song and in prayer together. It will be led by the worship team and the Monday night prayer team. This is another opportunity to connect with each other and with God through reflection and prayer and worship. To join the Abide event, look for the live stream link on the New Life website, newlifecrc.ca.
The offering this week is for the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons for people in need and to help many families with Christian school tuition. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. And if you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can also check out the link below in the video description. Please join us in prayer for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us and for the community that is New Life Church. We lift up this offering to you today and pray that you bless it as it is distributed to those who need it most. We thank you again for the many gifts that you have given us. May we freely give these gifts as you have freely given them to us. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, kids, it's the moment that you've all been waiting for. It's time for Kids Church. Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet just for you. So visit newlifecrc/kids to find this week's activity. Every month, New Life Kids starts a new series. So this month's series is called Freeze Frame. All month, we will be looking at the miracles of Jesus to discover what it's like to have the power of Jesus in our lives. If you and your kids would like to get more out of these weekly videos, there are also some reflection prompts following the lesson to help your family dig deeper together.
And before we pass it on to Nathan, we just wanted to let everybody know that Sarah and I are moving to Ecuador at the beginning of March. We plan to be there for at least 1 year, and our plan is to explore the country, practice Spanish, and get to know the culture for the first few months. At this time, we don't have any plans to do specific missions work, but we have felt called to move to South America and are open to any opportunities that God leads us to.
Depending on how the next few months look, you might not even notice that we're gone, but we would appreciate any prayers for safe travels and God's guidance during our time there. We hope to continue to connect with our New Life community virtually, and we look forward to seeing each of you in person when we return.
And now here's Nathan.
Good morning. Welcome again to a virtual service here at New Life Church. It's great to be with you. We're in a series of messages in which we're talking about living free, to live in the freedom of Christ. That's what Paul talks about in his letter to the Galatians. And in that context, he mentions a list of virtues, which he calls the fruit of the Spirit, that ripens within our own lives. And so today we're talking about gentleness. Now, on the other hand, we live with a picture of reality that is often hard and harsh. We live with the assumption that, man, in order to get along in this world, you've got to be firm, you've got to be able to lay down the law, you've got to be able to stay in control, otherwise people walk all over you. A man loses his brand new wrench set, and he's sure that somebody has taken it. He sees the neighborhood boy running across the street, and he's sure that kid took it. I mean, he looks like a thief, he walks like a thief, he talks like a thief. And then the next day, he kicks over a cardboard box, and he discovers his wrench set. And then later on, when he sees the neighbor boy again, suddenly that little boy looks and talks and walks just like any other kid. You see, the harsh picture of reality is a cover. It's a cover for our fear and for our own frailties. We feel like we never measure up, and so we need to make everybody else look bad so that we look good. We're afraid we'll get taken. We're afraid to show our weakness. And so we make unfair judgments of each other. We try to make ourselves look better and feel better than we really are. And it's an ugly streak in our lives that Paul addresses immediately after speaking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And then moving on into chapter 6, this is what Paul writes. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Have you ever been caught doing something bad, maybe at school or maybe at home, and you've been caught by your parents, or maybe even at work and you've been caught by your boss doing something that you shouldn't have been doing, and then the rest of the day you spend all kinds of time and energy and effort trying to get back on their good side. You do everything good to just get back on their good side. And that's what the Galatians were doing. Afraid of their own weaknesses, relying on self-righteousness, on their own abilities, on their own strength, they focused on all the good things that they did to try to please God. All the while, they're saying, this is a free salvation accomplished by God Himself, and yet, they tried to make it look like they had earned that salvation. And to be honest, we do the very same thing in our daily lives. We all have that strong tendency for self-righteousness. That's the harsh picture of reality that we live in. Making ourselves look good by the faults of others. And so Paul calls us to gentleness. Look, we might follow all the rules of the house. We might do everything that the teacher tells us to do. We might give no reason for our spouse to ever criticize us. We might perform our job at work impeccably. But Paul warns us, if you don't have love, it's empty, it's vain. Now, it's not the kind of love that we need that's simply just this wishy-washy sentimental stuff, but a selfless love expressed through gentleness, especially in treating one another, in relating to one another with gentleness. You can let go of your self-righteousness. With gentleness, you no longer have to condemn others to make yourself look good. But here's the thing. Gentleness doesn't get much attention. And usually, gentleness is pictured only as something cute. As with babies. There used to be this advertisement for Johnson Baby Oil that advertised that if you give your baby the gentle touch of this baby oil, then they will grow into wonderfully gentle people. And that works for babies because they're cute. But here's the question. Can gentleness get the job done when it comes to real-world daily living? Well, it can. Let's take a few pictures of gentleness as we look through Scripture. Because gentleness, in the first place, is in fact the power to lead. It's how God leads. Back in Isaiah chapter 40 in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40 is that wonderful chapter in Scripture after God has been silent for a long time and God's people are wondering whether God is still around. And suddenly God comes to the prophet to say, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." And that comfort is that Israel's God has come to her again. And so Isaiah 40 verse 10 says, "See, the Lord God comes with power, and his arm rules over him." And then this is what that power looks like. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." Gentleness. The power to lead. A gentle God is more than just having a nice God. It's more than just cuteness. Gentleness has power. It gets the job done. And it's part of God's character. And so as image bearers of God, we too then are called to live in that kind of gentleness. See, leadership isn't simply the power to get your own way. Leadership is the power to bring people along with you. It's a power that's fueled not by might, but by compassion, by mercy, recognizing the weakness and the frailty, the brokenness of our lives. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." And then continues on in verse 13, "As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust." See, mindful of the weakness that we live with, and not having to cover all of that brokenness up with pretense or self-righteousness. Admitting that, being free from the cover-up, can empower us to lead each other into Christ-like living. That is the power of gentleness to lead. Another picture of gentleness is found in Matthew chapter 11 in the New Testament, where God approaches his people again, this time through Jesus our Lord. And these are Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11 at the end of the chapter. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." And Jesus is addressing people, inviting them into that rest, in contrast to what the people were used to, the demands of religious leaders in that time of of harshness and self-righteousness and one-upping each other and making sure that you follow every possible law and every nook and cranny of that law. And Jesus says, no, that just leads to pride and arrogance, self-righteousness, and cover-up. You want rest? Come to Jesus, for he is gentle and humble of heart. And so Jesus describes himself in the very same manner that God does in Isaiah chapter 40. He's our gentle Savior, not overbearing. He's our humble teacher, not harsh, not demanding, gentle. And it's that gentleness that puts Jesus in the position of being a servant to all. He's the source of our rest and of our renewal. It's gentleness that will help us then also to be servants in a Christ-like manner, selfless servants of Christ our Master. Here's what this looks like in ordinary life. Daniel McNeely is a neurosurgeon out in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And one day he is to perform a very intricate surgery on little 8-year-old Jackson McKee. And as Jackson goes to the doctor explains to his parents this very intricate surgery of draining fluid from Jackson's brain. Tremendously important work, absolutely critical, and very sophisticated. And Dr. McNeely is going to perform that amazing surgery. All the while, the little boy is sitting there, and so Jackson looks up to his surgeon and asks Dr. McNeely if he would also do surgery on Jackson's stuffed bear, a bear that Jackson carried with him absolutely everywhere. The little bear had a tear under its arm and it needed stitching. And so, Dr. McNeely went to work on his very intricate surgery. And when Jackson woke up, he was thrilled to see that his bear had been stitched up just like he had been. Gentleness. It's part of getting the job done. Whether that's job of salvation or simply the job of serving a little boy. Tenderness and humility lead us into that kind of gentleness. And it doesn't look glamorous. And it's not a show of strength. Yet, it gives us the power to serve as Christ serves us. Dr. McNeely's gentleness changed a little boy's world, just like Christ's gentleness in serving us changes not only our lives, but it changes the whole history of the world. That is a power to serve. A third picture of gentleness is in this text that we read from Galatians chapter 6, and it's the power to heal. Paul calls us to mirror that same gentleness that we saw in God's actions and in Jesus' life. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You see, this is not only a power to lead, it's not just a power to serve, but a power to heal. To heal one another in the midst of brokenness and misery. gentleness empowers us to imitate God with that ability to restore people, to restore them to what is good, to what is true, to what is beautiful, to restore them to themselves, and to restore them to one another. Gentleness enables us to carry each other's burdens. Sometimes we'll become anxious and wish a person would just get their act together. And then gentleness reminds us to help carry their burden. Sometimes we'll be self-righteous and we'll think to ourselves, well, at least I'm not the one in trouble. And then gentleness will nudge us to show mercy. Or sometimes in arrogance we'll be downright scornful and we'll return to the familiar gossiping and wonder, how could a person ever do that? And then gentleness empowers us to restore that person to the body of Christ. Yes, gentleness enables us to carry one another's burdens, but it also, as Paul reminds us, enables us to carry our own load. That is, to be responsible for ourselves. Because gentleness isn't just a matter of codependence. It's not a matter of entitlement that we owe people things. Gentleness enables us to live our lives in the confidence that we're redeemed and restored by the power of Jesus and His gentleness. And so gentleness releases us from the constant comparison by which we try to prove ourselves. Gentleness frees us to press on with our struggles and in the brokenness and the misery of our lives, knowing that brothers and sisters have our back. Gentleness frees us from pride and envy to place ourselves in the gentle hands of a God who leads us and of a Savior who saves us from our misery. Yes, God saves a people. Not just individuals. He's not just plucking us out of our trouble. But He gathers us as a shepherd gathers a flock of sheep. We call that flock, that family, a church. And no one stands alone in that community. And so as God restores us to Himself and continues day in, day out to establish that restoration in our lives, to heal us of our brokenness and our sin, yes, even over and over and on a daily basis, so also we stand with each other. And in the power of gentleness, we hold one another up in times of weakness. Because with that gift of gentleness, we display the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of our actions show our complete dependence on Jesus Christ. But they also show how we live our lives to demonstrate our faithfulness to God's own people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you are a God of gentleness. Thank you that we can live in the assurance that day by day we can live in the freedom of Christ, knowing that you come to us and you invite us to yourself, not out of haughtiness, not out of your own might and strength, but you come to us with gentleness, tenderly, and you call us to yourself. Thank you, Father. So, Lord Jesus, as you serve us with gentleness, we pray that we may, in that same Christ-likeness, give ourselves up for one another. and do it gently. Not to take pride in ourselves, not to show how good we can be, but humbly to serve one another in serving you. You to whom we owe so much. Indeed, our very lives. And so dwell in us, Holy Spirit, and ripen that fruit of gentleness within us, so that as you restore us to yourself, we may restore one another, to us, to each other, and to you. And we give you all the praise, O God, even as we come to this Lord's table to celebrate communion together. May we come with that humble attitude of gentleness, knowing the sin and the brokenness of our own lives, knowing the sin and the brokenness of the lives of people that we love and care for. And so we come together in the power of your gentleness, O God. We come together to celebrate what you have done for us. And in that confidence, we go out to live in joy, in love, and in peace, serving one another and serving you. And may it all be to your honor and to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, then let's join together at the Lord's table. This is the first Sunday in Lent, and Lent is a season of the church year in which we remember the suffering of Jesus, and we join with Jesus on that road of suffering, acknowledging the trouble and the misery of our own lives, acknowledging and confessing the brokenness and the sin in our lives. And we come humbly before God in complete dependence on Him. Lent is that kind of journey of carrying our brokenness and our weaknesses and our frail lives to Jesus. It's a time for gentleness so that we don't get caught up in arrogance and in self-righteousness. It's a time to rely completely on God's grace to save us and to redeem us and to restore us to Himself. And so in that confidence, we come to the Lord's table. If you completely depend on Jesus as the Savior of your life and as the Master of all that you are and all that you do, then you're invited to celebrate this Lord's Supper, to feed us and to nourish us with God's grace so that we can live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And so, on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he poured it and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so we wait expectantly, patiently. We wait on God to come again, knowing that our life depends on the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And so hopefully you've prepared some elements around your own table wherever you are sitting. Or if not, then pause this video, gather some bread or crackers and some juice. And then you're invited to be nourished by Jesus himself as we partake of this bread and of this juice. So take this bread. And as you eat it, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all your sin. And then take the cup. And remember and believe that Jesus Christ poured out his blood because he loves you so much and frees you from your sin to live in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Take, drink, and enter into that joy. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so go into this new week, serving the Lord, carrying one another's burdens, gently restoring to God our Father. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
Before you go on with the rest of your day, just want to remind you that tomorrow is the last day that you can bring items for our Best for Babies care packages. And if you want more information on what else we need for these care packages, you can go to newlifecrc.ca/bestforbabies. We also want to say that we appreciate your prayers in the last week for our neighbors that were affected by the Delaware fire. New Life Church is partnering with Salvation Army and with MCC to support these families that were affected. And there's three things that you can do. First, there's been over 50 families that were displaced because of the fire. So if you know of a basement suite that's for rent or an apartment, you can contact Yolanda Aperlew at aperlewhouse@gmail.com, and she'll get in contact with families to pass on that information. Second, you can donate money to the Delaware Fire Fund through New Life Church, either by sending a check addressed to New Life Church or sending an e-transfer. Or you can bring money by the church, and the deacons will pass that along to the families in need. And third, you could donate gently used items that are still in good condition. Smaller household items, such as dishes or small appliances, you can drop up at the Salvation Army. Or some larger household items, such as couches, beds, tables, or other pieces of furniture, you can bring to the MCC thrift store on Gladys Avenue. Each family who has been hurt through this event has their own unique story of loss and grief. Let's help give them a story of hope and compassion as they rebuild their lives. We thank you for the love and the care for our neighbors, and they covet your prayers through this time. God bless you.